DC on ESPN 1320, brought to you by Sky River Casino.
Shout out to P-Dub, who asked if there will be Katy karaoke on December 6th. I'll say this, I already got in a bit of trouble for putting her on the spot like that on stage. I just think when you have a voice like that, you should share it with the world. My guess is no, but I'll try. I'll try. She could sing. Like, she can really, every once in a while. Like, I've seen more videos from her. That is the most sustained chord I've ever gotten from her in person.
She can sing. Yeah, she can sing.
She can go.
So the streets are calling for her, Katie. Come on now. Streets are calling.
I know she taps in every once in a while. I doubt she's tapped in at this moment, but we'll clip this for her and make sure that she sees it. You read that Will Z three-pointer stat a few minutes ago, yeah? The total points, it's 501. I can't remember if this is the updated one, because I know Will was showing it to me last night he was working on updating it last night at the game, and I can't remember if I pulled these numbers from his updated tweet or the old one, but 501 points are what Kings opponents have scored against them from behind the arc. 339 is what the Kings have scored. It's 163 point differential with 14.3 points per game as a three-point as a differential in three-point shooting.
That's tough to overcome.
It is.
That's tough.
No matter how well you're shooting from the free throw line.
Right. and it's one of those things that is twofold, because not only are you not hitting threes, but you're also not defending them well. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you were not hitting threes, but you were a good defensive three-point team, you might be able to survive. Or if you were hitting threes, and even though you are bad at defending the three, you're able to go, you know, 3 for 3 with them. You're on the complete opposite end on both. Like, that's tough.
Yeah.
Something's got to give at some point. You know what I mean? Like, you either got to just – start being locked down, defending the three, or try and
yeah, you
got
to be able
up.
To do one or the other.
Yeah, you got to try and catch up, you know, and just keep shooting threes or something. So
I don't know where I would have, like, if we had sat down, and you know, the night, even the day of the Minnesota game, and said, you know what, let's lay out perspective problems that the Sacramento Kings could face through the first 15 games of the season, first 20 games of the season, first quarter of the season. Let's lay that out. Where would being like the worst three-point shooting team in the league, where would that even have been mentioned? I don't even know that I would have said that out loud.
No, I wouldn't have said that.
I mean, I think everybody, I don't want to say everybody universally would have started with defense. Well, we probably would have.
Yeah.
If we started with something on the offensive end, that would have been like, well, how does DeMar fit in all of this?
Might have been free throw shooting.
Free throw shooting would have, regardless of whether it was first, second, third, fourth, it would have been mentioned before the Kings can't hit threes anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't think if we spent 2 hours of our 4-hour show on opening day trying to lay out what we thought the Kings' problems, biggest issues would be through the first quarter of the season, no one would have led with three-point shooting, and I don't know when that would have been mentioned, if it would have been mentioned at all, right, in that two-hour time frame. Yeah. We would have harped on free throws. We would have talked about three-point defense. Someone would have mentioned inside, you know, too small on the inside. We would have mentioned DeMar DeRozan fitting in with the Kings. We would have mentioned, are there enough shots to go to rent? Probably would have said some dumb crap about Keegan regressing because DeMar is here. We would have said something about Kevin Huerter not getting going. Somebody would have made up something about Malik getting comfortable now that he signed his contract. Nobody would have said this. No one would have said, hey, you know what? The Kings might wind up being the worst three-point shooting team in the league. It's good, like, man, get your ass out of here. You can't even take part in this conversation. They would have gotten hung up on.
Yeah.
But yet, here we are.
I can't believe it. I can't believe this is where we're at. I can't believe this is what we've got
to
deal with.
I can't believe you had to utter the phrase, just don't be awful. Be bad. It's fine. If you're bad,
that's
you're bad.
Real life.
Just don't suck. That is crazy.
It's real absolutely life, man. Crazy. Just don't be the worst three-point shooting team of all time. You can be bad. Well, live with that.
We'll be the
23rd best team in the league. Just don't be historically bad. Yeah, you know, one of the things it reminds me of a little bit, this is lasting a little longer than what I'm about to say, but remember during Beam Team 1 when Domas couldn't stay on the floor? Because of fouls.
Yeah.
I think that was only about six games.
I don't even think it was that long.
Like, what are we going to do? We got sold a lemon. This guy can't even stay on the floor.
Oh, man.
So I wonder if this is something.
This is a true story. That's what happened.
I wonder if this is something in March where they're shooting 37% from three.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, remember when they couldn't make anything the first 3 weeks of the season or something? I don't know. But I'm going to treat it as something serious. Like, we got to start hitting threes, figure out something.
Beam Team 1, Domas, six fouls in that game against the Blazers. Next game, Domas, four fouls in the game against the Clippers. All losses. Warriors, where is he? Oh, only two fouls in that one.
Oh, see, he showed he could hang in there.
Well, four fouls against the Grizzlies. Those were all losses. Okay, let's see. Where's? Oh, nope, six fouls. Fouled out against the Heat. Oh, six fouls. He fouled out against the Hornets. Gosh.
He can't stay on the floor.
We're six games into the season at that point. Oh, what a hilarious example that was. Good call on your part. Domas, okay, maybe here's where it starts to settle down. He has two against the Heat. Let's check in with the Magic here. Four in that one, and maybe it settles down a little bit. Four against the Warriors again. Cavs, this is the last one I'll look at. That's 10 games in three. So maybe our concern about Domas not being able to stay on the floor. Well, he had five fouls against the Lakers. God damn it, pal. One personal foul against the Warriors. Oh, and this is that seven-game winning streak.
The guy was a foul merchant in the other way.
That's hilarious. First six games of the season. Domas just can't stay on the floor.
So I hope, and this maybe this is just overly optimistic, but I hope they get to the point later in the season where we look back on these, and like I said, this is a longer period than the Domas situation. We're at 10, 11 games now where they haven't been able to shoot. But hopefully we look back on this later in the season and say, remember when they couldn't shoot threes and we were, you know, worried about it? I'm hoping. They also don't have a lot of good three-point shooters, though, as well. I think the real killer.
Fascinating. I'm just looking at some stats from back then. I was like, I wonder what the three-point shooting looks like.
Oh.
Well, it's not the three-point shooting that caught my attention. 68% from the foul line in game one. 57% from the foul line in game two. 80% in game three.
There we go.
81% in game four. Got a little better there. 72%. We'll do one more. 85%. So they shot well. But the 3-point shooting hovers around. I mean, I can't do the math here on the show. I'd say it's hovering around 38% to 40% through the first six games. If we stretch it to 10. Yeah, it's going to be in it's the same range, 36%, 37%. I don't think they shot anything that year as awful as what they've already done multiple times this season.
Yeah. It just, this is, once again, this is, I don't know, I shouldn't say this because maybe it's not, but this seems historically bad. This seems like one of the worst starts in the history of this franchise when you talk about shooting a 3-point shot. And the killer for me is you got a guy in Keegan Murray who is a good shooter.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good 3-point shooter. And I'm about to pull it up right now. I still think he's in the 20s.
Oh, he is. He's like 27?
Yeah.
28?
It's baffling. That is baffling. He is 27.9. He's 28% from beyond the arc. On 6.2 a game.
Mm.
And Once again, just call me a super optimist or whatever. I can't imagine that continues. I can't, like Uncle Looney and all this. But like, do you think Keegan Murray's going to shoot 27% for the year? He might. We don't know. We don't have a crystal ball, but I'm going to bet that he'll find a way to get into the low to mid 30s. You know what I mean? Like, you got him, De'Aaron Fox, who isn't a great three-point shooter, but I think he'll end up shooting a little better than he is right now. He's at 28. He's only shot, it's been a couple of times. He's 29. Even then, it's still lower than what he normally, the lowest points of his careers from beyond the arc. In the last 3 years, he's shot 32, 36, and now he's at 28. I think he's going to be closer to 31, 32. These guys are all shooting just anemic from beyond the arc. I don't think that continues. I just don't think that continues. Once again, doesn't mean they're going to be lights out, but I think they'll be better from beyond the arc than what they are right now.
Well, pray.
Shout out Hammer. the guy,
we got to pray just to make it today.
The guy is not available right now, but Malik Monk is shooting 27.9% from beyond the arc. Malik Monk, he's going back to some of the Charlotte years, 40, 39, 35, 35, and now 27.9. Like, this start is an anomaly to some of these guys in the way they've shot the three ball in their career. I'm going to just go with the history of it all and say they'll get at least a little better. But we are 11 games in.
It's ridiculous. Do you hear? Do you hear what we're talking about?
It's craziness. It's craziness. It's craziness.
You're listening to D'Lo and KC on KIFM West Sacramento, 98.5 FM Carex, QHD2 Sacramento, ESPN 1320. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Can we transition here for a little bit and talk about, well, let's do this. I was going to say, let's talk about something good and center that on the 49ers, but maybe this does it for you. Dolphins get a win last night.
Come on, baby. Shout out to my boy Tua. I always believed in you. Shout out to my boy McDaniels, you know what I'm saying? I always believe in you. You know, my man Tyreek Hill.
I think you're lying. I don't think you're telling the truth.
Lying about what?
You don't like any of those people.
Are you crazy?
You don't. Sir.
Don't say that.
You have tried to fire Mike McDaniels on multiple occasions.
No, it's not. That's not true. I just asked a couple of questions. I was not trying to fire him. Hey, but he showed grit. He showed grit as a coach last night. Handled business. Woo. Getting Niners a little breathing room. Woo. Woo.
I'm noticing a trend.
What's that?
Well, I mean, Ty Lue's light-skinned. You hated him. Mike McDaniels is as light-skinned as I am. How long? You going to run me out of here next? Wow.
I just said that's my boy.
Wow.
I just said Mike McDaniels is my boy.
Me and that dude from Insecure, you can't stand us, huh? All right, man. No, it's cool.
I've always said Ty Lue is a great coach.
Bro, I swear to God, if I knew how to search our archive.
Well, you don't
even
so that's
know.
Why I can keep saying this.
I was going to say, I don't even know if we were on the stream when you hated Ty Lue. That might have just been our stream. Here's the one thing I'll say. You and Kyle kind of like, and I know Kyle was maybe you guys were kind of in step with this. You both. Don't want to overdo it. You had your eye on the Rams.
Yeah, I was aware of what was.
I think Kyle might have been a little bit more. I think there could be something here with them. But you were like, I'm keeping my eye on them.
I see him.
Are you still?
I was giving him a side eye. Yeah, I still am. I was looking at the schedule last night, and you know it's a dangerous practice, but the Rams. Once again, they're getting healthy. They've got some games that I think they can get. They play New England, who just beat Chicago. They play the Saints, who just beat Atlanta. And then they got the Jets on the schedule. So, you know, you look at that, I think that's three wins right there that they can get. And then, you know, they're good enough to steal a game against Philadelphia, against the Niners. You know, they play the Seahawks in the last game of the season. So, I still got my eye on them. The only team in the NFC West I don't have my eye on is Seattle. And I can really just close my eyes. Like my daughter, when she doesn't want to listen, she closes her eyes and she says she's invisible. I can be invisible to Seahawks if the Niners handle them on Sunday. Somebody says the Seahawks, I'm just going to close my eyes. I'm not here to talk about them. But yeah, the Rams, I got my honor. But we needed a little room there. We needed a little room. We got that. And yeah, Kyle made a great point about a week ago when I was talking about second half of the season for the 49ers. And I think I said 6-3, because at that time they were 4-4. 6-3, 10-7. I think that gets you in the playoffs. I think that gets you the division. Maybe, maybe not now. Arizona's looking good, and they've got a lot of winnable games coming.
Yeah, up. I looked at Arizona's schedule and thought, huh.
They got a lot of winnable games.
Okay.
Now. Yeah. But Kyle brought up a good point when I said that. He said, I can buy that, but the games that you win, basically you can't, the three games that you lose, none of them can be divisional games. Like, you have to sweep the division the second time around. And you've got Seattle, you've got the Rams, you've got the Cardinals, all three of them one more time each. And yeah, he's right. You got to win. You can lose to the Bills. You know what I mean? That could happen. You can lose to the Dolphins, you know, but you can't lose. I would damn near say, I'll give you one, but you can't lose no NFC games.
Mm.
And they've got the three divisional games. They've got the
Are there
Bears.
Two against the Seahawks?
Just one.
Just one.
Next week's the last one. They beat them in Seattle on Thursday night a few weeks ago.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, okay.
But you've got the Bears and the Packers. You've got to win those games. The Lions game, I don't know if you got to win that. I don't know. But you can't lose any more than one division or one conference game. And you can't lose none of the divisional games. That's the way you got to lay this out. And right now, they have an opportunity to you know, do that. That Packers game, I was looking at the standings and everything last night. That's going to be a huge game. Packers and Niners in 2 weeks? Yeah, 2 weeks. That's going to be a huge game. Right now, the Niners are one game behind the Packers.
That's right.
In the wild card.
Yep.
You get that. Obviously, you get one game closer, and you'll have the tiebreaker if need be. So it almost puts you up one, I guess. Like, if you guys have the same record, It puts you up one over the Packers. If you lose that game, your chances of getting anything but a playoff berth from the division might go away.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big time game.
Interestingly, I realized why I thought the 49ers played the Seahawks twice. The Cardinals played the Seahawks twice.
Mm.
Coming out of their bye week, which is this week, it's Seahawks, Vikings, Seahawks. Mm. That's good for the 49ers, good for the 49ers, and good for the 49ers. All three of those games are going to work one way or another for San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And it could become a point where, you know, normally I'm of the belief, like, if in situations like this, like if the Cardinals beat the Seahawks in that first game back out of the bye, we'll beat them the second time, and you kind of just throw the Seahawks completely out of this. Mm-hmm. I might change that thought a little bit, because I'm a little bit with you, and it's not that I'm not buying the Seahawks, I just don't really like fear them. Mm-hmm. And if you're able to get that game against the Seahawks, and you could put them away yourself.
Yeah.
Split or give me the Seahawks 2-0.
Right.
And if the Cardinals really want to win that Vikings one.
Mm.
Because if, and it's a big if right now, if the 49ers can take care of their business, you talk about the Packers, you know, having a window open because of the Green Bay Packers, the Cardinals could open a window for you with the Minnesota Vikings as well.
It's very true. Very true, man. The Vikings, we talked about a little bit yesterday. I got my eye on them in a bad way.
Fraud watch.
Yeah. And fraud is a little heavy. I don't want to call them a fraud, but just coming back to the Pat. You know what I mean? Like, they haven't looked good for some weeks now.
Yeah.
And I've can't remember their schedule. It's not super tough, but you also got to play those divisional teams again. I think they got to play Chicago twice, who they're kind of falling. But they
yeah, and it's their offensive coordinator's fault, not their dummy head coach's fault.
Tragic.
But it's okay. Enjoy your last couple of games, Matt Eberflus.
But you've got the Cardinals, and you've got the Lions still on the schedule. And this is why when you look at like what you want to happen, it's still a little too early because Niners could be looking at, oh, I need the Vikings to beat the Cardinals so we can get closer to the division. But if the Cardinals win and the Vikings, you know, obviously the Vikings lose, that brings the Vikings closer to you. Like the wild card spots could start to open up a little bit here if, you know, the Seahawks beat the Vikings. I don't know if they play them or not, but if the Cardinals beat the Vikings.
They do.
Or, yeah, like those wild card spots could start to open up. The ones that we thought were locked down already, they could start to open up between the Packers and the Vikings.
And you have one left between – you have one game left between those two.
Yep.
You're right. That's a good call. That Packers game is massive.
Yeah.
That Packers game is massive.
I've always said those back-to-back games with the Packers and Buffalo, those back-to-back road games, split. It's even deeper than that now. I need the Packers game. You can kind of do what – I'll give you grace in whatever happens in the Buffalo game. I need that Packers game. I need that in a major way in 2 weeks. So the next two games are big. I think it's a division game against Seattle. You got to win that, and then you got the Packers game. So coming out of the break, out of the bye, I had said you have to win these two games, Tampa Bay and Seattle. You have to go 6-4. I'll just amend that right now and say you got to win the first three games. Like you have to win that Packers game. That's a big-time game.
Okay.
Yeah. Another thing that we didn't really get a chance to talk about from Sunday, what do you think of Brock Purdy?
Thought he was terrific.
I thought he was too.
Yeah, I thought he was really good.
I saw people kind of critical of him. And he might have missed some throws, but I thought he was fantastic.
No, I thought he was really good.
Two of the best throws I've seen in his career. The touchdown throw in the back of the end zone to Kittle was just unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And then
hell of a play by Kittle.
Oh man, him getting the feed in.
I think I undervalue sometimes how great of a playmaker he is. Like he can get things done.
I think Kyle Shanahan does too. I think Kyle Shanahan should do a little bit more to get him involved. He's that type of playmaker.
Far more impactful that Kyle feels that way than me. So I do want to point that out.
Yeah, like get him involved a little bit. That was insane. And then the pass to McCaffrey, just McCaffrey. Mm-hmm. McCaffrey hadn't even hit the stutter on David yet, and Brock let it go because I don't know if you saw the replay on there. It's all on 22. Shout out to the offensive line who just both went to go block somebody else and left the guy unblocked right in Brock's face. And Brock said, oh, crap. Got it up to where he was pretty sure McCaffrey would be and dropped it in a bucket.
Yeah.
Two big-time plays, man. Always, I thought he played great.
That's the line I want uttered at the press conference. I was pretty sure he was there. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know, man. I just was pretty sure he was there.
And then I was listening to something yesterday. And it's not to stall anybody because we're all watching the game together. Like, we just watched the game. But I always try to be cautious of, oh, that was just a bad throw by Brock or any quarterback. Oh, he threw it behind him or whatever. Because I don't remember the play specifically. But there was a play to Purcell, I think, before the touchdown where Brock tried to throw it to him across the middle or something, threw it behind him. And, you know, if you look at it, you'll be like, oh, bad throw by Brock. You throw him behind him, like, you got to be better. Well, Purcell comes out later and says, yeah, that play was actually my fault. I broke the route too short or too early or something like that, and that's why it was behind me. It was my fault. Like, he had the right pass, the right intention. I didn't run the route the right way, and that's what happened. And those things happen, I think, all the time. Sometimes, obviously, they're just some badass throws.
Right.
But sometimes that happens.
Yeah.
Also, he got them in field goal range to win the game at the end. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's a thing that we constantly just harp on with quarterbacks. Like, oh, he didn't play great, but boy, he buckled down when he needed to. And Brock made some money throws on that drive.
Yeah. Give your team a chance to win, right? That's it. It's what you're expected to do as a top-tier quarterback. Give your team a chance to win, and he did that.
Yeah.
And shout out to Moody for hitting the field goal.
Shout out to Moody for real, for real.
You could be mad at him for the other three if you want to, but when it was money time,
he buckled down and did what he had to do.
He hit it. Maybe Debo's tactics worked.
Maybe so.
I don't know, but he was able to get it done. We'll come back. We'll talk more about the 49ers. We'll talk more about the Kings. We'll open the phone lines for you as well. The Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320. Of course, we got Trista Crick coming up at the top of the hour. We'll take a look around the NBA. Much more ahead. Stealing with KC here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
By Sky River Casino.
Big thanks to our guy Kyle Mattson, pulling double duty here a couple of times this week with Jesse taking his first vacation in the history of this show.
Shout out Jesse, man. Big ups to him, man, because his Dolphins got the dub last night.
They did.
Man. Appreciate you. You and Mr. Tappy, appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Yeah, they didn't even stick around to watch the game. I thought for sure that we had the big screens were split. They had the football game on one and the basketball game.
That's a good stuff. Fire place to watch the 32 crews. And then the humidor just crazy, bro. The humidor so chill. It's so chill up in there, man. The vibes are so, man, come on, man. Sky River, they cooking right now.
Sky River's cooking, for sure. There's so much good food in there. I told you we ate at the Chinese food place for the first time last night.
Yeah.
Immaculate.
Yeah, I'm going to try it. They got shrimp fried rice in there?
Oh, come on, man.
Okay. Don't say less.
Come on, man.
I might go tonight.
Come on, man.
I might go tonight.
Hey. You might want to do that.
I might go tonight, man.
You might want to do that.
I'll be looking for some good shrimp fried rice in my area. I might just have to start going there.
Get them. I'll have to see my man Eddie. I'll have to find out what the shrimp he brought out. It was just incredible.
Mm.
Absolutely incredible.
Mm.
Yeah, go enjoy that. Go enjoy that. A couple of things here. Our man Will Z did a little research for us. The Kings are off to their worst. Worst 11-game shooting start since the 2011-2012 season.
Oh. Hold on.
They finished that season at 31.6%.
31, you said?
31.6. That's where they finished. I'm trying to figure out where they...
You said 11-12 was that team?
Yeah, 2011-2012. Okay. The Kansas City Kings in 1982 started at a percentage of 0.71 from three.
Come on, man. Come on.
Crazier. In 1982, they started at a 0.71 shooting 3-point percentage and finished 45-37.
What? They turned on the freaking Jets.
The Kansas City Kings of 1979 finished with a 1.67 shooting percentage from three, and they also finished that season at 47-35. Or they finished with a better record. It was 47-35.
Well, shout out to the 11-12 Kings who finished 22-44. Paul Westphal, RIP, was relieved of his duties. Then Keith Smart finished the season. And they had players on there like DeMarcus and Tyreek. Jimmer Fredette was on that team.
Wow.
Cisco Garcia, Dante Green. Then it gets a little dark. Chuck Hayes, J.J. Hickson.
Mm.
Travis Outlaw.
J.J. Hickson.
Isaiah Thomas was on that team. Jason Thompson, Marcus Thornton. Sean Whiteside, Terrence Williams.
How about this number?
They actually had talented players on that team. I'm surprised they were that bad.
How about this number? The Sacramento Kings started the 2004 season in which they finished 50-32 with a 3-point percentage of 31.5%. For context, the Sacramento Kings right now are at 30.1. That seems impossible, but that's where they are right now.
Well, I'm looking at the
30.1 seems impossible.
That team from 82 is awful. Oh, 71. And then they finished 25-37. That's crazy. Yeah, this is one of the worst.
This is not good. Not good.
One of the worst.
Not good.
Oh man.
Well, I guess they can't be this bad forever.
Well, I hope
not. Or maybe they can.
I hope not.
I don't know. I feel like we said this about free throws.
Well,
and defense.
Nine game losing streaks. Then they got another one. Like, well, at least they got that one out the way. They can't get another one. No, they did.
So, like, people, like, because whenever people say, like, basketball gods, they say plural. So there's multiple basketball gods somewhere in this basketball heaven.
That's what it sounds like.
And so, like, is there infighting between the basketball gods and one basketball god is like, yo, come on, man, it's time for Sacramento. Like, let's get the free throw shooting on point. Let's get the defense on point. And the other basketball god, it's like the House and Senate where the other basketball god is like, no. We can't do all that, pal. No.
Yeah, that's probably more.
They gave the basketball gods the either-or scenario you
maybe
presented
so.
Earlier.
Maybe that's what happened. That's what you said is a better example. I was thinking, like, isn't this the Supreme Court where there's, what, nine? There's always a majority.
Yeah.
And the majority doesn't give us everything.
No.
Like, all right, the Kings are shooting free throws better. Who votes for them to shoot three-pointers better as well? Mm. Nay.
Clearly, it's a conservative majority up there with the basketball gods. Yeah. Let's take away their ability to reproduce threes.
Reproduce threes. Oh.
Let's do that.
Oh, man. I shouldn't even be laughing, but that was a good analogy.
No, it was a great analogy. Apologies to all women out there.
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't know. Look, even more than that, they're just not in favor of the Kings having good
players. Clearly. Clearly. Like,
maybe
the original basketball god was from Rochester or Kansas City or something. He's like, what the hell are they doing in Sacramento? Oh, they're going to pay for this forever.
Were the Kings, are they one of the original teams?
No, I don't think so.
I'm thinking Rochester, though, because that's around where the league was made.
Original NBA
like the
teams.
Knicks, I think Knicks, Toronto. I don't even think Boston is one of them.
I got this is a very quick, unscientific search. I got the Celtics, Lakers, Hawks, Falcons, the Providence Steamrollers, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Is this real? So, okay. The Kansas City Royals are here. That's the lineage of the Kings, right? The Kansas City Royals?
That one's got to be wrong, though, because Rochester was first.
Here we go. This is from NBA. Here we go. It's the Celtics, the Knicks, the Philadelphia Warriors, the Providence Steamrollers, the Toronto Huskies, and the Washington Capitals.
Yeah.
We've also got the Chicago Stags, the Cleveland Rebels, the Detroit Falcons, the Lewis Bombers.
Lewis, what? St.
This
Louis?
Is. You know what the best part about this is? Chicago, Cleveland, Detroit, the Pittsburgh Ironmen. That's the Western Conference. That's the Western Division right there. The NBA was made up of Boston, New York, Philadelphia, Providence, Toronto, Washington, Chicago, Cleveland, Detroit, Philadelphia, and I assume that's St. Louis.
Because I believe the reason why I know New York and Toronto, I think that was the first NBA game, was New York versus Toronto.
Boy. These lineups look exactly like you're thinking they look. The 1946 Celtics look exactly like you're thinking about in your head. Hey, that guy might have unclogged my toilet one day. There he is. Hey, that looks like my mechanic. There he is. You know, that Lakers coach might have been on to something when he was talking about these guys back in the day.
The NBA was like an adult league in West Sac.
Okay.
That's what the NBA was.
You have to see
got a
this.
Game tonight, honey.
Well, for sure.
You can't play.
I don't imagine they got – nor can you vote. Get out of my face. No, you have to see this.
Oh, man.
NBA. You have to see exactly what I'm looking at on NBA.com. Everybody needs to see this. Stand by. Where's the NBA one? There it is. No, I want you to look at these frat bros in Philadelphia. No, wait for it.
Oh, man, I got to see this. Hold on, no. Hold on, no.
No, we're getting there. Hang on. So, again, it looks exactly like you think. Here's the 1946.
Oh, look at the guy in the middle.
There's the Celtics right there for you, for those that are watching. But it gets better. Check out these guys for Philadelphia. Oh, first of all, look at that on-court action.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
That game looks awful.
Boy, and look at this guy with knee pads. Like, who's the guy with knee pads on? He got, like, some flesh-tone knee pads.
That game looks awful.
No, look at these three. Like, those are, like, come on, man. You're telling me those are professional basketball players,
man,
right there?
Hey, man, we might have to split up the all NBA 100 team. Modern era and past era. I ain't saying get rid of those people, but maybe they don't need to be on the 100.
True.
I'm sorry, real quick.
Yep.
Who's the worst player in the league right now? Just name a bad NBA player.
Draymond Green.
Draymond Green is going for 40, 30, and 20 a night against these dudes.
Draymond, as they like to say sometimes, they're like, they would think Draymond Green is a wizard. They would not think he's a human being.
Oh, like
they
were dumbfounded, like with Michael Jordan?
Yes.
They were 100%. Like,
the things this Draymond fellow can do. You imagine how much the announcers would struggle with his name?
Bro.
Draymond.
Oh, and here comes Draymond Green. Oh, boy, look at him go. He's soaring through the air, and he scores a slam dunk.
This man is a wizard. Why is he constantly angry? I don't know.
Oh, no, and he just punched somebody.
Well, he just punched Jack George. That's what he did. This is Jack George here in the middle. This guy right here, that's Jack George. He has to be related to Matt. There's no way the lineage of Georges right here with Jack. This is George Dempsey over here, and this is, who's this, Tom Galea.
No, those are Matt George variants.
No, it's
every single one of them.
It's George, Jack, and Tom. Like, are you kidding me right now? Man.
Oh, man. Come on, man.
Terrell Humdinger of a hoot nanny down here at the ball court.
Humdinger of a hoot nanny.
He did it! He scored 100! No, sir, you're lying. No one believes you. He didn't score 100.
Yeah, that scorekeeper went 46. That's close enough.
That's the scorekeeper from 46. Phoenix. That's the scorekeeper from Phoenix the other night who just kept resetting the shot clock. Like, you know what? I just give him two more.
Someone said, wow, that was such an impressive move. Should have been worth 10 points. Scorekeeper's like, yeah, you know what? You're absolutely right.
Why not?
It was 10.
Yeah, why not? Why not?
That 100 points is phonier than Goldberg's streak. Like, the weekend passes by. Hey, Goldberg's 70-0. Next week, Goldberg's 101-0.
Bro, I've only seen him twice on Nitro. How is this possible?
Wilt Chamberlain went into the first quarter with 18 points, but came out of the first quarter with 27.
Hey, man. Whatever. It's history, though. It's history. It's history. Yeah. So, the Kings are not one of the originals. I think they were the next wave, though.
All right.
They were the next wave. Hey, while we got the internet up, can I play the...
while we got the internet up? I don't know why that was funny to me.
What I teased yesterday, can I play Bob Myers getting upset?
Oh, yeah, you got it? Yeah.
Bob Myers getting upset with Perk just, I guess, talking too much or something. I don't know.
All right.
Let's see. Let me get
I'm ready for this. I'm always good for some Bob Myers sound. I got my popcorn ready and everything.
Let's get it up here. Let me pull.
You got pills that can help that.
There we go. Boom, boom, boom. All right,
here we go.
There's Bob Myers.
I'm excited for this.
Getting upset.
The 10, 20% of this. What are you shaking? Can I?
No, go ahead.
Okay,
I'm just saying, are we talking about the late?
The 10, 20% of this. What are you shaking? Can I? What,
no, go ahead.
Okay, I'm just going to stop.
It wasn't to you. I'm just saying, are we talking about the late?
The 10, 20% of this. What are you shaking?
Hey.
No, go ahead.
Why is Bob Myers such a little bitch? No, you're folding his arms. No, I'm done. 20% of this. No, I'm done.
Can I?
I'm pouting on live television. I'm done.
The visuals, man. Look at him cross his arms. So, no, I'm done.
No, I wasn't done, Bert. No, I'm done.
No, it's good. It's good. Get your stuff off.
All right.
No, it's good.
No, okay. All right.
No, go ahead, Bert. Man. It's good.
Bob Myers, he said, what are you shaking your head about? You know what? All right. I'm done.
Him folding his arms is fantastic. It's like because it's like he's pouting.
And then he got mad. He got mad because Burke just shook his head. He didn't even talk over him.
It's like I think sometimes Bob Myers forgets, like, hey, we're having a conversation. That's what we're doing. We're having a conversation about what's going on in the game.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you, man. I've done a 180 on Bob Myers. He's hilarious.
Yeah, no,
he can't go anywhere.
But he's hilarious because he's awful. I find him to be ridiculous. I also think he looks stupid. He's up there on TV. He makes these stupid ass facial expressions. He looks like he's zoned off, like thinking about like I don't know, like some Fidelity investment or something. I don't know what he's thinking about. He looks ridiculous. He sits up there with this stupid look on his face, just doing nothing.
Man. Yeah, I'm all in on Bob. I don't want him getting another job. I don't want him going to be CEO of any head. Stay with the NBA and stay on TV. He makes me laugh.
Well, I'm glad he makes you laugh. I think he's a jackass.
He cracks me up.
Him pouting is funny, though. I'll give you that. Guys, I know there's something wrong with the YouTube stream. We can't fix that. Like, that's YouTube. So, you can... David Jackson is such a jackass.
Oh, man.
David Jackson donated $10 to the Odyssey Comcast bill. Thank you, guys. That's fine. Thank you, David Jackson. I don't know. There's an issue over on YouTube. I don't know exactly what it is. Try refreshing your screen. Head to Twitch or Twitter. Like, I'm not really sure. But there's plenty of ways to enjoy the program. I promise you.
Twitter still works, huh?
Yeah, Twitter still works. Charlie paid the bill.
Yeah, we on here.
Took a while, but he got it.
Got here.
Appreciate you, Charlie.
Got here.
Appreciate you, Charlie.
Oh, man. Bob Myers. And Jack Dempsey. Is that his name? What was his name?
George Dempsey. George. Jack Dempsey, I think, was a boxer.
He was. He's one of the greatest of all time.
George Dempsey. And it was Jack George.
Jack George.
again, the
Matt
great.
George's uncle.
Yes, the great lineage of George's.
Oh,
DeRaymond looks like Jack Dempsey out there with that right hook. Hit him right in the kisser.
Could you imagine, boy. Draymond, could you imagine in consecutive games? Because Draymond has gone after Domantas Sabonis. Now remember, this is 1946. Goes after Domantas Sabonis and then Yusuf Nurkic.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Draymond be in jail.
I can't imagine that. I don't want to imagine that.
I got jokes with this broadcaster voice that I'm not doing on the radio.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that.
Ooh-wee.
We started talking a few moments ago about how well Brock Purdy played on Sunday in that. How would you constitute that game on Sunday? A win is a win. It doesn't matter. Not at the point of caring. Just got to keep winning. Or... all right, you escaped with a win, but come on, man.
Because
you know how I feel about the Bucks.
Yeah.
They're scratching and clawing, trying to stay alive. They've lost, you know, some of their most important offensive weapons. They've been getting roughed up. They've been in games. They've, you know, they pushed Kansas City to the brink. I'd argue it doesn't mean they would have won. I'd argue it was a coaching mistake that ultimately cost them, or it certainly cost them an opportunity. To win that game. And I saw that game as less about, well, the 49ers are doing so many things wrong, and more about, like, Baker is trying to will this team to staying in the hunt for the division. And because the Falcons dropped one, like they still are. That win, had they been able to pull it off, would have been massive for them. They still have an uphill battle, but I looked at that game as more of, I'm a little biased. I'm going to salute the Bucs a little bit more than I'm going to be like, oh, 49ers got taken to the limit by a Bucs team without Godwin and Evans.
Yeah, I don't trip off that win at all. Like, you win the game. We're in survive and advance mode, really.
Yeah.
And that's how I'm looking at any game against anybody. Like, they play against the Bears, and if they win on a last-second field goal, I don't care. Like, I don't care. Because I'm of the belief that just get to the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to take my chances there. You mentioned something yesterday that I thought was great. You don't have to be clicking in week 10. You don't have to be on full cylinder at week 10. If you can get to the dance, you want to be clicking enough to win once you get into the playoffs. And I think that is – I really do believe with this group, if they can get in, that's going to rejuvenate them. They may never be able to execute in the red zone this year. That just may be who they are. They may be a team that isn't completely buttoned up and able to execute everything at a high level. Defensive line may just never be able to get to the quarterback, and that ultimately may be reasons why they can't win a championship. You know, that might just be who they are. But I do think you're going to get a renewed sense of energy and confidence if they can just get to the playoffs. Because at that point, they'll feel like, especially with the way this season has gone, they would have made it through the storm, and now they're in a familiar spot. You know, they've done it on the road, in hostile environments, against number one seeds, and they'll take their chance. I think that there's going to be a level of confidence in them if they can just get there. Some of the things that you saw from Debo on Sunday, mm-hmm. specifically, was, I think, a microcosm of the whole team, and they're worried about not getting there.
Frustration.
They're worried about not getting there. They're worried about not being able to – that they might have blew their opportunity to get to the playoffs and get back to have a chance to win a Super Bowl. Mm. And if they can just get there, I think you might see a different 49ers team once they get to the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm with you in that regard. Just get there. Yeah, just get there, and I'd still – Lions, Packers, whoever, I'd still bet on them. If they got to the playoffs, I don't feel like they need first round buys. I don't think home road matters. I mean, I know you want those things in the end, but give them a shot at winning a couple of games to get to the, you know, to at least get to the NFC Championship. I could see that with no issue. That's exactly how I'd feel. Even if they kept going along this trend where it's win a couple, lose one, win a couple, you lose one. All right, you got into the playoffs as the seventh seed. If you will, I'll take it.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, and I talk about this usually in like a, I don't want to say negative connotation, but I'm always like, hey, it doesn't matter how good the 49ers are. So it's one game in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. In my adage, I still believe it. The better team don't always win in that situation. The Niners might not be better than the Lions. They just have to be better than them on one day.
Yep.
That for 48 or 60 minutes. That's all they've got to do. And if they played them in a series, it might be a Lions 4-1, but they just need one time. And I think that's how I look at this team going into the playoffs, because I don't think they don't execute well enough to be considered the best team in the conference.
Mm-hmm.
Like they leave too much on the table.
Mm-hmm.
They're not as buttoned up as they have been in the past. So I can't look at them as being that type of team. But I do think they can beat anybody on any given day. And that's what happens when we get to the playoffs.
I don't watch as many of the round table circling topic debate shows. Our schedule doesn't even allow me to watch like a ton of specialty shows. Like I have more of a narrow focus on the 49ers, the Raiders. But it feels like, and this is how the conversation all started, is why I wanted to bring it back here.
Mm-hmm.
That the it feels like the conversation around Brock Purdy has died down quite a bit. Is that fair? Like, I don't think there's a discussion about whether Brock Purdy is still a good quarterback or how good he is or what tier he is. I feel like he's quieted a lot of that noise down, no?
oh, here's what happens. He quieted down because he's had two good games. If he doesn't play well on Sunday.
So were they beating him up 2 weeks ago?
Against the Chiefs? Yeah.
Huh, okay.
Yeah. But they didn't beat him up against the Seahawks.
Huh.
But then they beat him up against Arizona. Like, whenever he loses, that's when the conversation comes
up. So we're evaluating Brock Purdy on a week-to-week basis and not as a complete football player.
That's what a lot of people do.
Okay. That's wow. How you know it's fake. Like, if you can't judge a player on what he's done for you in Brock's case now, because the conversation isn't what the conversation is Brock Purdy a good quarterback? That was always the conversation. Mm-hmm. Or for some, it was how good mm-hmm. Brock Purdy is. If you're evaluating that on a week to week basis, the conversation isn't genuine.
And to be fair to Brock, I don't want to make it like it's all bad. There are a good number of people that, you know, have those platforms and are respected football people who have been saying from the mountaintops, like, no, he's good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, regardless of what happens week to week and all this, no, he's a good quarterback. He's the truth. So he does have a little bit more of that than he had maybe last year, but there's still a good number of people who, you know, in and outside of the 49ers circle who evaluate him basically on a week to week basis.
Hmm. Okay. I think he's a good quarterback. I think he's doing just about everything right.
He's a good quarterback. And I'm not trying to put him on the spot, but Kyle, because Kyle a couple times was unsure. Are you still, like, unsure about paying him the money he's probably going to be asking to get?
Yes. Like, definitely. But at the same time, that's me personally. The 49ers are paying him.
Right.
Brock Purdy's going to be the quarterback for as long as he's –
And every time you say that, I get exactly what you're saying. Like, you may be unsure, but you know, yeah, they're gonna. That's what he's gonna.
Yeah, he's getting paid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay, we've got Trista Crick coming up at the top of the hour. We'll talk Kings basketball with her. We'll get her thoughts on the Kings a little bit, and we'll look around the rest of the league. More injuries for the Pelicans. Mm. Cavs still have not lost.
Oof.
Still have not lost. They are 12-0 right now. We'll talk about that as well. Steelin' with KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino and Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.